Hello, everybody, and welcome to Anime Roulette, where we watch a different anime every other week, and we just talk about it. And I am your host, Connor, here with another host, Scott.
Hello.
And another host, Ashley.
Hi.
We wanted to do this for a couple of reasons, but, like, the main reason is because it's just fun to talk about anime. It's something we all love, and we're all very passionate about, so I figured, fuck it, why not? I think it's a great idea. We all have varying degrees of anime weeb level, I guess is an appropriate term. I'm probably the least weeby out of us all. You know, I think that the amount of anime I have watched, amount of anime that you watched.
Fair.
Yeah, probably.
Almost guaranteed. And I watch a lot of anime. I am, in fact, typically the weebiest member of my friend group. So, it's a little off the beaten path. It's weird being the newbie, I guess, so to speak. So, we decided we're going to pick the first anime, and that was season one of My Hero Academia. Very excited. I really enjoyed rewatching it. We are just gonna go for it. We're just gonna talk about My Hero Academia. At the very end, we're going to spin our roulette wheel, and it will pick a genre. And then out of that genre, it will spin another roulette wheel, and it'll pick a different anime for us to watch in within the 2 weeks. Yeah, so I think we just jump right into it and talk about My Hero Academia Season 1. I've got a lot to say about a lot of things in this anime.
Agreed.
I think one of us has more to say.
According to my giant notes here, I have a few things. Just a couple.
Just a couple.
Just
it's nothing crazy. It's nothing insane. You know, it's nothing like the workings of a madman.
No.
It's definitely not 18 pages of notes.
I killed a lot of trees.
I think that the first thing I do want to say, and I'm going to ask this at the start just because I want to address it, is this anime a good starter anime?
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think this is legitimately one of the best, in my opinion, starter anime.
I think the reason why it's such a good starting anime is it has such a large group of people that it can touch, from youth up to, you know, even when you're in your 30s or 40s.
It's got such a wide target audience.
Yeah, and the cast for all the characters, there's about somebody for everybody. You can hook on to somebody that, you know, you just anybody there.
There will be at least several characters that anybody can resonate with and find connections between themselves, their personalities, and those characters. I personally really, really enjoy Tokiyami. he's the best boy in my house.
Tokiyami's very good.
Ida is beautiful, but we will obviously talk about that. So, I mean, obviously, spoilers for My Hero Academia Season 1. I think you know that jumping into this, if you're clicking on this link or audio, you know what.
Which, thank you, by the way.
Yeah,
yes, of course. Thank you.
Out the gate, we do appreciate it, regardless of if you're, you know, listening to this, you know, and just pass the time, or you're genuinely interested in what we have to say. Thank you. We appreciate it. So I do think it is genuinely, like, if you are a beginner anime watcher, I think that this easily could be probably the number one, in my opinion. I think that this rivals Dragon Ball Z, and, like, probably, like, what's another... One Piece is so daunting at this point that it's not a starter. We'll talk about that in that episode eventually.
It's an intimidating
It's anime. Incredibly intimidating.
And I've been watching it for years, but since almost as it came out, and if you haven't been, then it's scary.
So many episodes to catch up on.
There's almost 1,000 episodes for that show.
If you don't play catch up and then keep up, you lose. You can't watch it ever again.
Yeah.
I watched it when I was a kid when it was airing on Toonami, and, you know, even before that when it was airing on 4Kids TV with the worst dub and the greatest anime OP of all time, the pirate rap.
Yeah. And Sanji's lollipop instead of his cigarette.
Instead of a cigarette. That lollipop still smoked, though.
Yes, it did.
I think it's such a good starter anime because, like you said, it's got a character for everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I like the fact that it's an anime that has so many characters that, I mean, you get to know. It's not like you have one or two characters that are, like, definitely main characters. I mean, we know who kind of shines in terms of the storyline for, like, who's a main character and things like that, but everybody gets their story. Everybody gets their little bit of a shot at showing up.
Even in season one, it's inherent, like immediately. Like it just immediately gets in.
And this is spoiler for later down the road, but Froppy, in the manga, she had very little in the manga itself.
Yes.
And then when they went to go do a training, they went out of their way because she became such a popular character.
Over the special episode
her own little sliver of an episode. Absolutely. Which was amazing.
I really like that about this show, and I've not read the manga, but the show itself, it does a really good job, even in season one, showing who these characters are in their personalities, in their demeanor, in their powers, their quirks. They all shine in different ways, some less than others. Some are dim little fucking bulbs that, you know, we want to hit.
Especially in the first season. Yeah. I mean, some of them that, like, if you've never watched it and you watch the first season, because you only have so many episodes in the first season and everything, you might not see much, but then they kind of grow as you watch the series and everything.
See, that is the thing. For me, it's like, the first season has a lot of great characters and a lot of bad characters, and in my opinion, this is the least strong of the seasons. I mean, obviously, we aren't talking about that right now, and this is just, you know, my fourth rewatch of this show. But, like, I think that season one, I would say it does a decent job of showing off all these characters, but I think that it is just, it pales in comparison when you start to get to, like, season two and season three, where you start to see even, like, support heroes from other classes, people from other schools. But it does a good job of setting up the world, showing what, like, it is to be a hero in this world, what it is to not be a hero in this world. It shows a little bit of everything, but it does what a season one does. It shows the main character, it shows the supporting cast, like the main group, and it does show, you know, the villains. And we can talk about that in a bit, but I think that this is, you know, it is for sure a good starter anime.
Considering it's so much shorter than the rest of the seasons, I think that they paced it pretty well, too.
Agreed.
I mean, the first half and then the second half, the way that they set it up and everything, even though it was, what, I think 13 episodes total.
Yeah.
And that's half of what the rest of the seasons have been. But I think they paced it well to kind of give you an introduction to the characters. And a lot of characters were introduced in 13 episodes. And, I mean, you really get a feel for a lot of these characters in such a short amount of time.
It kind of, that's one of the things that got me, sorry to keep stealing the mic, but, like, it got me that, like, when I think of My Hero Academia, there are many characters that come to mind, but, like, none as incredible as, like, Todoroki. He gets three lines of dialogue in the entire first season, and it fucked me up because I was thinking to myself, like, oh yeah, Todoroki is such a badass, he's just gonna fuck shit up. And he did, but, like, he's just like, don't move, your feet'll come off. Like, okay, but, like, I want a little more on that little edgy boy.
I think the best part about that is he didn't say it menacingly. He was just telling you the truth.
It was genuine kindness. Yeah. Don't hurt yourself, please. This is a test.
But I think it fit the character given season one, because obviously spoilers as well. You don't know his backstory.
True.
With, his family and stuff. So
exactly, you know, and we will talk about that
at a later date.
About a month.
We get into it.
Yeah. So I definitely do think this is a good starter anime. I think this rivals, for sure, you know, like Dragon Ball Z and the shows like that.
Absolutely.
A lot of the big anime. Now, the thing that I have that I want to talk about immediately is, let's start off, like, with the beginning, the main bit, Deku as a person and his growth. Like, he starts so weak.
Yeah.
Like,
both mentally and physically.
Incredibly, yes. Mentally, he is nothing, essentially. He doesn't really have anything going for him. His main character trait is that he's a fanboy. But that's the thing. Even in the first season, it does a really good job of portraying that character. Like, he does still have that, but it portrays it in a positive way. He uses his brains to, like, his fanboyness to actually succeed and beat people.
Absolutely. I think it was nice to see him transition from that to, like, his drive to become what he's becoming now.
And I also like how they used all of the notes he took and let you know that, hey, he's figured this out because he's been that observant.
Absolutely.
You know, skipping ahead forward into later part of the first season when he's fighting Bakugo.
Absolutely.
He's able to, you know, shoulder throw Bakugo.
Yes.
Which was, by the way, that was a perfect shoulder throw.
Oh, yeah. No, he crushed it.
Yeah.
I think, in a way, being born quirkless was kind of a blessing to him because it made him see these kinds of things. And he studied them so deeply that he is so sound when it comes to strategy.
Yes.
And, you know, he understands the way that each one of these, how they all work, how they all, how they work with their quirks and stuff like that. And he works to his advantage and stuff. But at the same time, I think it also hinders him because
makes him slower.
He does. He's slower. He doesn't, if he doesn't have the time to strategically think something out, then he's not going to win.
He really has to think about everything he does. And I think that is, it does speak volumes on him being quirkless, you know, his whole life, even though he was so weak and so, you know, he was a crybaby.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little piss baby. Couldn't do anything.
I kind of agree with you in that. And then I kind of don't, because I think that he may have been a crybaby, but he also had something in him that made Katsuki, like Bakugo didn't like him because he tried to help him the one time, or because he was willing to stand up against him, even though he was crying and he was shaking and he was scared. And
Bakugo doesn't understand how you can be afraid and still push forward.
Yes.
I mean, that's all Bakugo's known is strength.
Yeah.
So, like, of course, he wouldn't even be able to understand it. It's like being born rich and just being like, what do you mean you're starving? Yeah. What do you mean you don't know how to eat?
The dynamic between them is like, where one lacks, the other one doesn't, and vice versa. So they have this really heated, envious, almost jealous kind of
on both ends
dynamic. Yeah, from both ends, absolutely.
It is. That is another thing I wanted to bring up, is like Bakugo as a foil it's the smartest decision. Like, I think they picked the perfect foil to Deku, where Deku in the beginning is so timid. And he really, like, he's courageous, but, like, only when he needs to be.
Like, so far.
Yeah. In the very beginning, he's courageous, but not really. Like, he gets there. Mm-hmm. You know, he works at it. But, like, ultimately, like, he's such a timid person, and he's so outspoken. And then Bakugo is just in your face and loud and exerting all of his energy, whether you asked or not.
From just the first season, you can tell that Bakugo's more in it for the showiness. He wants to be noticed, and Deku just wants to save people. He just wants to be there, and he wants to save somebody. He wants to be like All Might. He doesn't care about the spotlight.
Exactly. He wants to become that hero.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing for him. And I mean, that's really just the main plot device. That's the MacGuffin.
Yeah. I think that's kind of interesting too, because you have Deku on one side who basically wants to emulate All Might, become All Might.
I mean, to the point of his outfit.
But then you have Bakugo, who respects, he respects All Might. He thinks he's an amazing hero, but he wants to be better than All Might. He doesn't want to be All Might. He wants All Might to be in his shadow.
Yes.
He wants to go above and beyond that.
Wants to go beyond plus ultra.
I can foresee later on, if Bakugo does change his ways, he's going to be more like Endeavor than he...
Oh, 100%.
Which, I'm sorry, we haven't even talked. Endeavor's in the second season, and on.
We will see all that stuff, and we will absolutely talk about Endeavor, because I have a lot to say about him.
I think it's hard to have this first season conversation without that being in there anyway.
Honestly, if you're listening to this, like, I 100% thank you again. But, like, if you want to watch alongside us, it's not a bad idea. But if you want to just keep watching the anime, fucking keep watching the anime. You know what I'm saying? Like, My Hero Academia is just a good anime in general.
Yeah, you won't want to stop.
It's very hard to stop.
You'll just keep going. Especially since they're what, four seasons right now? Three, four seasons?
Yeah, there's four seasons. Shout out to the last half of season four being the greatest filler of all time.
Absolutely.
Actually makes my heart swell. It's so wonderful, and the OP by Kanabun is amazing, and it's one of my favorites.
I can't wait till we get to that part where we can talk in depth about it. It was just amazing.
Yeah, season four in general was absolutely without a doubt the best season.
I had so many emotions watching season four.
I have cried several times in season four, first part and second. Anything you want to bring up in particular?
I hate Deku's hero suit.
Oh, I fucking hate it so much.
Oh, I hate it so much. I do.
Because we were talking about it a second ago. I'm going to bring it up. Deku's Deku's hero uniform is just so dumb. I get it.
It's cringy.
His mom?
I think it's a cute aspect that his mom made it for yes. him. I mean, don't get
that,
me
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, that makes it different, for
I
sure.
I mean, that's definitely adorable, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's a bit cringy.
No, it's extremely cringy. He is like, and again, you know, not to generalize, there's a lot of anime fans that are like that, though.
Yeah.
So I guess that it is a good, you know, it's good to have that character that's such a fanboy that, like, I want to dress as him.
Mm.
I'll design my costume
that's
on
fair.
Him. Yeah. But, like, it still is super cringy. I won't lie about that.
I mean, even All Might says something during the...
oh, yeah, he notices.
Yeah, the indoor combat training.
Oh, when it's so obvious.
He's coughing and he's like, so obvious! yes, it is.
It's extremely obvious. Even then, like, in that moment, I thought to myself... It is obvious, but, like, again, it's a situation where it's, like, everybody who knows Deku...
It wouldn't surprise them.
It does not surprise them. Bakugo, he would be like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, that damn nerd.
This idiot. Yeah, he's dressing up as All Might to be a hero. That's funny. I'm going to dress as whoever the fuck I want to be, and
absolutely.
I'm going to destroy it.
I'm just going to be
can
a fucking
we also,
grenade.
Since we're talking about costumes, can we just talk about Todoroki's costume in the beginning of the
it's
series?
So
it's
so animated poorly.
Like,
the animation of it
the
destroys
ice
me.
It's just awful.
Yeah, no, a lot of their outfits don't change much after season one.
No.
But that one in particular, Deku's, kind of stays the same for a while. But
it changes
like,
a bit through the season. Yeah.
Ochako's does as well.
Ochako's does as well. And I think
minor
does
changes
a little bit.
Yeah.
I think all of them are like really subtle minor
it's
changes,
absolutely.
Except for like Todoroki.
Todoroki's is like the biggest.
Tokiyami, he's just wearing what he wears.
Yeah.
And there's nothing different.
He's still my heart. I love
Tokiyami. I love Tokiyami with passion.
Yeah. Dark one. Shadow is adorable, especially when he gets seen with light.
Oh, yes.
I recently got My Hero One's Justice 2 with my buddy John, and we were just messing around with it, like, probably a week ago, and that is my favorite character to play as. It's so fun. But let's talk a little bit about something else. Anything that you guys wanted to bring up?
Later in the season, I mean, well, even in the early part of the season, I definitely want to talk about Aizawa a little bit.
Okay, so, like, let me address this. Before we get too far, I gotta tell you, it blew my mind hearing him again, because I have not watched... We watched the dub, by the way. I don't know. We should address that. Typically, I don't want to say we're always going to be watching dubs, because
no.
We're not. That's physically impossible. There's some anime on our list that are not getting dubbed, probably ever. Bible Black, specifically.
Yeah.
Just kidding. That's already dubbed. But definitely, there's some that we won't be able to do. This one, we did watch dubbed. I personally... interchange dub and sub constantly. It does not bother me. It does not affect me. I understand it does with a lot of people, but for me, it just doesn't bother
me. For
me,
it definitely does. Yeah. There are certain ones that if I've heard it dubbed and I like the voices, I cannot go back to listening to it subbed. It just bothers me. It doesn't fall, like, I hear them talking and it doesn't sound right to me. But then, same in turn, like, if I've watched something that hadn't been dubbed yet and I watched it subbed, and then I try to watch the dubbed. I cannot watch the dubbed version either because I just get so used to these characters having a certain voice.
See, I started watching this before the dub came out, and I enjoyed the subbed version a lot. And then my roommate can't, you know, at a time she couldn't watch subbed anime. She couldn't read very well to the TV because of brain issues. But now she can. But we started watching My Hero dubbed, and I like it. Personally, I'll just say that right out the gate. I actually enjoy the My Hero Academia dub.
Absolutely.
I think they do great, with the exception of season one, Present Mike and Eraserhead sounding like absolute dog shit, in my opinion.
Yes,
I'm
actually really glad that the voice actor changed for that. No disrespect to any voice actor out there.
No, I think that they both did a good job.
Mm.
I just don't think that they fit, like, for that job.
Not for the voice actor for Aizawa in season one in comparison to the rest of it. It just did not fit well, in my opinion.
I think that's the same thing with Present Mike. He was the one I noticed immediately. It hit me and I was like,
actually,
wow.
I didn't even notice that one. When I go back to watch season two, I'll
I'm pretty sure it does change. Either it changes or that dude ups his game.
Because I definitely know that Aizawa changes because you can clearly
tell.
Yeah,
it's clear as day.
See, I can't really put my two cents in for this because I've only watched it subbed. Until this time. So this is the first time I'm hearing the dubbed voices for My Hero Academia. Because I watch almost everything subbed. The only thing I'll watch dubbed is Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z because I can't deal with Goku. Again, no disrespect to voice actors. It just doesn't fit for me with Goku's personality.
I get that, actually. I've listened or watched some Dragon Ball Z subbed. It's not my favorite, but that's how I feel a lot about Naruto as well. Mm. I don't mind the dub of Naruto. I think the thing that saved me when I was watching Naruto was switching to subs, though, genuinely, because it is very, very, very annoying in the dub, in my opinion. I think that Naruto as a character is annoying in general, though. That's kind of how I felt about Asta in the beginning of Black Clover, and we will discuss that, too, when we get to Black Clover.
Let's transition back to the anime we were talking about.
Let's talk a little bit. Eraserhead / Aizawa, same character, is...
The master of naps.
It is.
He is the master of naps.
It's buck wild to me that Deku, like, I understand that, like, his character, he works from the shadows a lot. He is not in the spotlight, but it is still buck wild to me that Deku didn't recognize him immediately. I think that's one of those things. And I think it was just like a writing thing.
How he didn't recognize him until he saw the goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because I think that regardless of that, he is very much a distinct character.
Absolutely.
Like, he knows about him, because he recognized the goggles, he knows about him. So, like, I could not imagine seeing him and being like, I don't know who this man is.
All Might was talking about how he basically ducks out of interviews. Press. So that might explain why Deku didn't recognize him, because maybe he's... never been able to see him in an interview. Maybe he did when he was younger.
Yeah.
When Aizawa was younger. They only saw him wearing the goggles.
That's fair, too. I think that's fair.
But, you know, he's hard on his students. But at the same time...
He is, but he's not at the same time.
He cares.
He's doing it because he wants them to push forward. Like, what he does with Deku, where he basically calls him out on his ability.
As he was about to throw and he erases the quirk. Yeah, absolutely.
It shows that he does care. Like, he's not teaching the reason All Might is.
And it's a little hard to go into this fully with an explanation, because there's a huge backstory as to why he is the way he is. And it's not just personal things that have happened in his life, but it's also with other students that have been kicked out of the program and things like that. So it's really hard.
Especially just if we're just talking about the first season and then just the anime.
Absolutely. Only the anime. If the manga is excluded, then we can't really even talk about the things that
Apologies for the technical difficulties. We had some issues with the recording software, but I fixed it and it's all taken care of now. As far as like Aizawa is concerned, he is definitely one of my favorite characters in season one and past that. But I think we should have a moment and just discuss some of the supporting cast. You know, I have a lot of favorites in this anime, and I have a lot of least favorites.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
It's hard not to, just because there are so many characters. There's, what, 20 in Class A?
There's 20.
20, yep.
And on top of that, you have the heroes we see throughout season one. We have... the big heroes, like the teachers. We have some of the smaller heroes, like the people that, you know, help around the city. Mm-hmm. You know, what's his name? Kamui? No. Kamui?
Kamui Woods?
Yes,
Kamui Woods. We got Kamui Woods, Mount Lady.
I got Kamen Rider on my brain.
Yeah, so this is not One Punch Man. I forgot what the Fire Hydrant Man is.
Oh, yeah. He's great, too.
You know?
So there's so many supporting characters on top of, like, you have your big one, like, Deku and Bakugo, and in this season a little less, but Todoroki, you know, I mean, you can tell that dude is bringing the heat, literally, and the cold. He's half hot.
Cold.
But, like, there's so many characters, and I think it's good we could have a quick little, a quick back and forth on, like, some of our favorites, some of our least favorites.
Definitely Ida is one of my favorites.
I love Tenya.
He is without a doubt one of my all-time favorites in the entire anime. Obviously season one, he grows a little, he's judgmental at first, but then he kind of grows into, like, shouldn't judge a book.
When I first met the character at the preliminary, like, to get into the school and stuff, I was like, I'm not gonna like this person.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna like them. They're probably gonna be a thorn in the side of this whole series. And then after he really got to know Deku and, like, Uraraka and stuff, it's like, he's a little over the top. He's a little loud and a little crazy, but he's adorable.
He's really stiff, but when you, later on, when you find out, like, his background, you know, how he grew up and everything, You mean you find out in the first season that the Ingenium, his family, have been heroes for generations.
Absolutely.
And he wants to emulate them. You kind of already get the sense of, you can see why he's so uptight, because he wants to follow those rules, those laws, and knife hand everybody.
Yeah, immediately he does show that, like, he wants to be just like his parents, just like his brother, especially.
Mm-hmm. Especially like his brother.
And he will do what it takes in those situations to do that. He will follow the rules to a T. He will become the model student. I kind of love that about him. You know, it adds... It's a different kind of character. I mean, there's a lot of characters like this in anime, I think. It's not, like, tropey necessarily, but, like, I think that it's not an incredibly good one.
Speaking of Ida, can we just, for a second, talk about how absolutely adorable he was in the moment where he was playing one of the bad guys?
Oh, yeah.
He took that role on so well. I mean, I just found it so adorable.
He was really precious, and he did it very well. That showcase of his powers, to me, was, like, apart from, like, in the later part of this season, where he does save the day, it is such a good showcase of his powers. It shows what he is about. He is quick, but not only that, he really, like, accelerates and can kind of push those limits.
Yeah, and something that happens in the beginning during the Entrix exam, when he sees Deku fall over, and he just runs past him.
But he takes a second to stop and actually looks.
Yeah, that kind of sticks with him for a little bit, and I'm pretty sure that's one of the main reasons why he was so adamant about not running away during the USJ incident, because he didn't want to...
Absolutely.
He didn't want that feeling, and he thought it would make him feel, you know, like he was abandoning these people.
I think that is something that sticks with him. Like, obviously, we can't talk about season 2, but I think that is something that sticks with him throughout the series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's hard to say, because, like, there's a lot of action with him in season 2, but after that, it's a little less. But, like, in season 2, at least, things pick up with him.
And he really shines.
He does. Absolutely. Every season, or half of a season-ish, I think, has, like, a main character.
Yeah.
Or a main side character. I mean, you know, we could go on for days about how I feel about... the big three.
Speaking of that moment that you said about him running away,
yeah,
I think that was a pivotal moment on how they became friends.
Yes.
I think it kind of made Ida be like, whoa, am I in this just to be like the best and to win and to get all the points? Or I completely didn't think about the whole, an entire area of factors that involves being a hero, you know, helping somebody.
Yeah. Hero isn't just combat. It's saving people. I mean, if we go back to the ICT, the indoor combat training, at the end, when they lose, spoiler, obviously, and you see Uraraka on the ground, like, throwing up, and him, Ochako, and Deku are now friends. He's sitting there next to her, rubbing her back, trying to, like, you know, soothe her while she's sitting there trying not to throw up. It's one of the sweetest things you see in the entire anime.
It's just
really quick, but...
Yeah. I love the dynamic between Ida, Ochako, and Midoriya.
Absolutely.
I think that it is such a good fit. And, like, it's an obvious situation where it's like, obviously, if we're shipping... We're shipping Ochako and Deku.
Fair.
Disagree.
Agree. But see, that's how the mangaka clearly intends it. I know what I mean? Like, that's the situation where it's like, it's the
couples.
Easy.
I have my couples that I definitely ship in this. Yeah.
I have no comment unless it's about present Mike and Aizawa getting each other's dicks in their mouths.
I think Deku and Froppy would be amazing because...
No, I agree with that.
Because, you know...
That's fair. I've never actually even considered that one.
And it's not just because, like, how they work together. It's how together they can help push each other.
Absolutely. I've never even considered that.
You see in the USJ, when Deku starts to kind of panic, Sue's like, calm down, Midoriya. And, you know, kind of... She's dead calm. And... She's more pragmatic than just about anybody else.
She's got fucking ice in her veins, straight up.
Yeah.
Like, no cap. She's scary, frankly speaking.
Oh, yeah. She's a great person. She cares deeply for her friends. And she's willing to help to put herself out there.
I've never even considered that as a possibility, to be honest with you, because it's so centered on him and, like, Uraraka. I mean, it's so obvious that it's so centered on them. It's like, and then there's a couple other groups in the classroom that I think that they've definitely centered the possibility of relationships upon and stuff like that. So I never even thought to even branch out from that.
Yeah. My only real ship, genuinely, is Mineta and Road Roller.
Fair.
I think that it's, you know, the perfect ship. Fair. I think that literally 100% of the community can stand by that, and I think that's just a fact. I feel a strong way about Mineta because there's a part of me that's like, it's wasted potential. Mm-hmm. He is literally, and I believe they do say it, he is literally the smartest person in that class, even over Momo Yairozu, which is buck wild to me. Like, on paper, he is the smartest, but he's so...
skeevy.
He's so perverted and so, like, over the top of that, and he is so dumb. How can somebody that smart be that dumb and, like, lack courage in a hero program?
Yeah.
Why did he join? To get with girls? Like, he's not going to make it at all.
I'm more curious how the hell he made it into 1A.
Yeah, no, that is the question.
I feel the same exact way. I don't understand because, honestly, in terms of all of them, I mean, there's a couple of them on in there that really don't stand out to me, and even... Yeah. Past season one have still continued not to really stand out to me or anything, honestly. But, like, he is, like if you were to take him out of it, I don't even think I'd miss him at this point because there's just not enough that I like about him. I don't know. And I feel bad for anybody out there that, like, likes his character or whatever. Yeah,
I don't think he's he's not made to be a likable character. That's the thing.
He doesn't really develop much either.
No.
Even later into the series.
That's the problem that I have. In terms of
maybe more perviness, but that's about it. I mean, that's the only character development that he even gets.
Genuinely, that's the biggest problem I have with this character. He's wasted.
Yeah, and he just gets maybe a little bit more courage later in the series.
Yeah.
But
I mean, even Kaminari. Even Kaminari is, you know, definitely, he's a pervy guy too. I mean, him and Mineta have their moments together and everything, but that is not all that Kaminari stands for. Like,
Kaminari's a little more three-dimensional. He's a little more fully realized as a character, in my opinion. And he, frankly speaking, he shines. He's very,
perhaps he's very good. That was just, maybe Mineta was meant to be that way. He was just supposed to be that stereotypical,
A lot of people that I've heard talk about this is like, yeah, he basically really is like the self-insert character of perversion.
Yeah.
Basically, so the, you know, they can sexualize their young students because he is of that age, so they can be, he can be perverted to them.
Mm.
You don't have to feel the guilt of sexualizing that character, hentai artist, but you still will. Shad man, I'm looking at you.
Another one that I'd really like to talk about.
I do like how Froppy tries to drown him.
That's the best part of the entire season. Froppy's another character
I'd love to talk about. I adore Froppy. I think that in the first season, she had a lot of character development, especially at the USJ, because, I mean, she was with, you know, Deku in the shipwreck zone, and it was a perfect spot for her to have been dumped into, and I mean, I just thought she shined in.
That's also a really good, like, moment, because, like, it shows that, like, these villains are really stupid.
Yup.
Hooey, Shigaraki, I love the man, but he's the dumbest. Straight up, he's genuinely the dumbest villain in the first season, and there's four of them at most.
And once you get to, once you understand and you learn more about Shigaraki, like, why did you even think that would work?
It makes no sense. Like,
you're so intelligent. Well, it's hard
because his secret overlord boss did say that All Might would be literally killable, and he didn't think about the fact that. Yeah.
Honestly speaking, though, I think he would have been killable if those kids hadn't been there.
Oh, yeah, no.
With that Nomu, I don't think, if those kids weren't there, that Nomu would have wrecked him.
Yeah. If it was not for Midoriya, straight up. Like, full stop.
Or Bakugo, even. Bakugo definitely played quite a part in it, too, in my opinion.
Todoroki?
None of them moved, though.
Todoroki, for sure.
None of them moved at that last, the pivotal moment. No, and that's the thing.
That is the thing.
I don't know that they wouldn't, either.
That is such a typical character trait of Midoriya. Look at the sludge. Look at the sludge villain.
Like All Might.
When all pro heroes wouldn't even go after the sludge villain when Bakugo was in there, and he moved before he could even realize he was moving. Like,
he didn't have a choice.
And that's just, that sums him up as a character. Yeah.
I do slightly disagree with, it was Deku at the end there who helped save All Might, because Snipe shows up.
Absolutely.
And even if Deku hadn't done that, I think this is just my personal headcanon, that if Deku hadn't have jumped in, All Might still would have been fine. Because...
Yes.
Timing-wise, maybe. But I also
feel that if Snipe hadn't showed up when he did, then Deku would be gone.
Because he'd be dead.
Shigaraki
would have fucking decimated him.
So, I mean...
And if All Might hadn't showed up, Froppy would be dead.
Yes.
If we keep going down this path, Mineta could die in season one, and we could all be happy.
Right?
And yet, here we are. I agree with you to a point. Like, I think that Shigaraki having to make that movement to then go attack Deku instead was the amount of time necessary for Snipes to then walk in. I think in that moment, and I don't know, it's hard to say because, like, seeing Shigaraki use his quirk on Eraserhead, it's a moment where it's like, it takes a bit of time. Whereas,
confusing to me, but I guess we can't really have that conversation.
No, we get to keep this between ourselves.
This is very hard for me.
No, I feel
I'll
you.
I'll try to stop you when you start going down that rabbit hole of the manga.
You gave me the look, so I was like, okay.
I was ready to as well. I don't even, like, I barely know, too, to be honest. I mean, I've seen Shigaraki do his business in season 2 and 3 as well, and a bit of 4. Not much, but, you know.
It's a little harder when you've watched all the seasons and you're reading the manga as it comes out and stuff, too, because you try to remember, that, which is good why we refresh it and rewatch it so that I know that I'm not going too far, but...
Yeah, that's why I want to keep it, you know, we watch it.
I accidentally did that to Connor the other day. Mm-hmm. We were in the car and...
I've ruined a few things for him.
We brought it up and I thought it had happened in season 4, and it only happened in the manga at the moment because...
I have I'm like that too because then I kind of forget.
Yep. So let's talk about the hearts, the dual hearts, the Gallifreyan there. Because Gallifreyans have 2 hearts. Sorry, I'm also a Doctor Who nerd. Recovery Girl and Lunch Rush. To me, they are the
heart and soul.
They are the heart and soul of UA.
Absolutely.
You know.
Oh my god! I love
Recovery Girl who is just. She's there, and she knows about All Might's issues, and she's there, and she's willing to tell All Might, you're doing this wrong. You're letting Midoriya continue to break himself because you're not being a very good teacher.
Which he wasn't. Him. He definitely was not. There very were moments, focused
but
on
like
season 1, where
in my opinion, much like the Jedi, he kind of teaches like shit.
Yeah.
And he doesn't teach for the right reasons. That's the thing. No. I think he teaches Midoriya for the right reasons, but like at the same time, I really don't think that.
I don't think he was fully invested at the time. Yeah. I don't think he was really. He was ready to give it up, but he also wasn't ready to give it up.
Mm-hmm. I still think he regrets a little bit in season 1. I think in season 1 he has that regret for sure. I think that
in
it
the
changes.
Beginning,
but
I think his opinion changes as time goes on. Yeah, but I think. But you know, you go from being on the top to all of a sudden. Realizing that, hey, I'm dwindling, I'm going to be nothing here soon, I'm going to go back.
I think he hit that peak regret and, like, the lowest regret in the same fucking moment. Like, when he fought the Nomu, and it took him 300 mighty blows instead of 5. I think that was it. Like, he was like, if I had my power, I would be able to kill this thing and save everybody. But then, you know, Deku helps. He rushes in, he hits it, you know, he essentially takes the aggro away from him from Shigaraki.
I agree. I think for every time that All Might kind of starts to doubt his decisions, Deku steps in and does something that makes him realize, okay, I've made the right choice. Yeah. I've made this decision, and it was actually a good decision that I've made. And I think he's going to continue to struggle with that.
Spoilers, I don't think he made the right decision.
And I think that as he sees Deku... he sees Deku's drive to become a hero, and how he's willing to save people, and how he's willing to put himself out there and change everything in his life to become a great hero.
Mm-hmm.
It helps All Might kind of see, like, yeah, I'm fading, and I need to start focusing on something else. I can still be a hero, but I have to change my tactics.
I think that's clear in season 1. I mean, he is so overzealous of himself that he thinks that he can just do what he wants and kill, or not kill, but take on 3 villains before class starts, before he knows he has to, He's not thinking. He knows he has to go to the USJ.
I think it's a transitional thing. He's trying to transition into this and his need and his want to be able to help people the way he's always helped them. And I think that, especially with the USJ, I think it was a pivotal moment, a turning point in him. I mean, I think when he handed off the power, I think he kind of understood that things were going to change, but I don't think he fully understood that it was going to change until after the USJ happened and he finally realized, like,
in that moment, I think he understood.
Yeah, he didn't think that his powers were going to wane that much more quickly when he passed over the torch.
But yeah, and honestly, I'm sure that All Might, like, the predecessor probably felt the same way, and
it's tough to say.
Well, because
it's not a spoiler to say that, because they talk about it.
Yeah, but when you think about it, she didn't really
get a
chance. That's why I'm struggling.
Fuck me, spoilers, brother. I mean, I know about it, but like,
I'm sorry. I know we're talking about season one, but if we're bringing that up, then
I mean, it's hard because the predecessor is mentioned.
Yeah, briefly. You didn't have to say that, my mans.
I didn't have a choice. Now I apologize.
Now everybody listening is going to be like, what the fuck happens to her?
You just have to watch and find out.
I can't wait.
Watch or read.
I can't wait another month to watch an episode of My Hero Academia. Watch it now. Just do it.
Yeah, just keep going.
Just keep watching. It's fun.
Don't put it down.
Yeah, follow along or go on ahead.
Honestly?
All of us have watched it. I've watched it at least 8 times.
I have watched all of it thrice. Yeah. In its entirety.
Once I've watched it in its entirety
in Japanese, once in dub with my roommates, and this is going to be my fourth time, but I watched it in dub on my own as well, just because I wanted to catch up.
This is my third time watching it, my first time in dub.
Now I feel weird that I've watched it.
Well, it's a good... It does show, though, that it is such a really, really good starter anime. I think that anybody, even like... Frankly speaking, a veteran weeb like Ashley, we can enjoy it, and it stays relevant. I will be 100% honest. When he fought Nomu, when All Might fought Nomu, I cried. It hit me, the shivers when he yelled plus ultra. It gave me like literal shivers. And I don't know,
there were a few moments in the USJ where I got the feels.
I have this moment a lot. Like, there's a lot of anime that does impact me deeply in an emotional level, but like, this one hits different though. Like, it really does.
You can just the feeling of listening to him say that, and he knows he's running out of time. He's willing to...
He is going beyond.
Yeah. He's willing to show this class who he really is now. Because he needs to save these children. These are his students. Mm-hmm. This is his turf. How dare they show up here? And he's willing to just throw everything away that he's worked so hard for.
I think Principal Nezu was a very important part of that, too. Because, I mean, and I like that about Principal Nezu, because he's not afraid to say exactly what's on his mind. He's like, if you're acting like... an idiot. You're acting like an idiot. Like,
yeah, he calls out on All Might for coming in and burnt all of his time. He's like, why are you not putting your students first? This is why I hired you, to put these students first, so you didn't have to go out there and do that.
I think it's a good thing to have, like, Principal Nezu there, because it's grounding. And Recovery Girl, because Recovery Girl's not afraid to tell him exactly how she feels either. And even Aizawa in that respect, too, because Aizawa doesn't cater to... He doesn't cater to that kind of stuff. He doesn't care about the limelight. He doesn't care about this stuff. He's going to put his students first. He's going to put safety first. He's going to put all of that first.
So I do want to mention Nezu. Is it every time I watch an anime?
He may be a bear, he may be a mouse.
Yeah, you never know.
He's just your adorable
friend. Every time I watch an anime, I notice voice actors, especially in dub. I notice voice actors, like specific ones, and we all have our favorites, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Even people who don't watch dubs, I'm sure you can recognize a lot of voices. Ida. Listen, I like the Japanese voice of Dio from JoJo's. He voices Deadpool. And it's really good. Like, it's just really incredible to watch, like, hear the voice of Dio talking about, you know, mutilating the fourth wall.
Rather. I can recognize the guy who plays Zoro from One Piece.
Yep.
The dub for Zoro.
Tanya Ida for me, because J. Michael Tatum is my absolute favorite voice actor to ever have voice acted.
And to me, for some reason, this voice actor, Jerry Jewell, I see him everywhere. Every time I watch an anime, it hits me immediately. And I'm like, that's Barry the Chopper from Fullmetal Alchemist. I know that voice. And it might just be because I enjoyed that character so much for the very brief screen time it had in Fullmetal Alchemist, which we will get to. But I enjoyed that role so much, and that voice was so interesting. Like, I don't know if that's why, but it hits in my brain. So every time I hear him, I'm like, yeah, that's them. I hear him. There he is. And it happened when I first watched this.
A lot of different animes, especially with, like, characters that you recognize. Like, for example, like, Todoroki is also Berthold.
Yes.
From Attack on Titan and stuff like that. And it's like, if you close your eyes, you can hear one or the other talking and stuff. I love listening to them and everything and finding them in different series and stuff.
So I think now is about time we get to maybe like the next topic, which is...
I've got something.
Yes.
What are some of your like the funniest moments for season one for
funniest
you guys?
Funniest moments?
I've got a couple of them.
I mean,
I mentioned one, Froppy drowning Mineta because he hugged her and grabbed her boob, and she was just like,
absolutely.
Her eyes go wide, and he goes, nope, and just sits there and continues to Deku.
I think that Deku's reaction to basically any of the wild shit is great, but my favorite will always be, eat this. Okay. What? Like, he just, you know, it's anime.
You need my DNA. Like, okay.
Which I do want to bring up. You think if All Might busted a fat nut in a woman, she would inherit All for One?
Oh my gosh.
He has to be willing and she has to be willing, but what if she wants it and he's like, it's a moment of weakness for him and he's just like, I'm going to nut in this stripper. Sorry to get so inappropriate so quickly, but I've thought about this a lot.
If it makes you feel any better, I think about how Superman has sex.
Not well. Because if I recall, they did address it.
If that comes out at speed, then...
I think they addressed it at one point in the comic, like, way back when. I do not know the answer. I am not super well-versed in DC anything aside from Doom Patrol at the moment.
No, I'm fairly well-versed in DC. I'm getting back into it.
I think my funniest moment is at the USJ with Bakugo and Kirishima. And Kirishima's like, why are you so calm right now? Usually you're like, die, die, die.
And he immediately acts like that. But it that's such a good show of his character, too. Like, under pressure in those moments. I mean, it does show he does want to be a hero.
Yes.
I think that's because that's the thing. He does have that goal. And I think it's such a good foil because they both have that goal. It's not like one is going to be like, oh, I'm going to be swayed to the dark side. It's not one of those tropey things. They both want the same thing.
Speaking of Bakugo and Kirishima, can we just talk about their budding bromance?
They are.
Like, it's so lovely.
Their bromance is starting. Yeah, this is great.
It's an immediate, you son of a bitch moment. And it's my favorite part of the majority of the show, their relationship. He is the only person that gets Bakugo.
Absolutely.
At all. There's a lot of anime that do that kind of role a lot differently, and I just think that their relationship, it reminds me a lot of, like, Noctis and, what's his name? Gladdy.
Gladdy?
Yeah. It's just such a literal bromance. Like, they're teaching each other on their way to become something better.
For Final Fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah, GLaDOS.
Yeah.
Yeah, GLaDOS is willing to, you know, throw himself out there, and he understands what Noctis is going through. It's a Final Fantasy 15 for those who aren't well versed in Final Fantasy lore or characters in video games. Now, I really liked when Jiro literally throws Denki at some, or just pushes him into somebody, and uses him as a stun gun.
It is actually an incredible moment.
And then Momo helps too. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna throw him in there, and another person zaps three people, and he's like, oh, look, I can't help.
Okay, so is there one more thing you wanted to bring up as well?
My biggest talking point is honestly just to talk about the USJ and like how it's a turning point for hero society and villain society even really.
I think that this is like not to get like super Joker society, but like no, it is such an incredible portion of this anime is like the interspersed relationships throughout the city and throughout just the country in general and how everybody is around each other.
Mm-hmm. I've watched watched all the anime and I've read up, I'm caught up on the manga, but you can still see from just the first season how screwy the society really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people that are just, they're calling somebody a villain who stole a purse. And because he got cornered, yeah, he used his quirk, and things got dangerous. But you saw that the villain was actually away from people, on top of the rail track, trying to stay away from the civilians.
How Mount Lady, I think she overreacted.
Mount Lady dropped.
I think they all did.
I think Kamui handled it well. He would have reined him in perfectly well, and then Mount Lady had to get right in there and jumped it and sent him flying, did more damage to the city than I think was necessary for a situation like that.
They didn't really talk about that either, and they should have.
I definitely think that showed a side of the hero society that, in my opinion, is a little bit much.
Most of these heroes now, they only want to be in the spotlight. They just want to get paid. They don't really care about saving people.
They want to garner the likes and have people like them.
You know, and for the civilians that are standing there, that's entertainment to them. And that's the wrong way to look at this. You know, these people are trying to save you, and you're just going to stand there and...
I think even All Might has a little bit of that in him. I'm not negating the fact that he definitely has saved a lot of people, was definitely what he was out there for. But I think he thrives on...
Mm-hmm. It's the drama.
All the limelight and all this different kind of stuff of it. Whereas you have people like Aizawa that's in, like, the Hero Society that... doesn't care about that kind of stuff. He literally just wants to make sure that people are safe. Yeah. He doesn't need credit for it.
I think that it is an integral situation on their quirks, though. Whereas, like, All Might has this really flashy, like, I'm a bulk up, I'm a beat the shit out of this dude. But Aizawa, like, it benefits him beyond belief to be able to not be recognized by anybody.
Absolutely.
Let alone heroes, you know what I mean? But, you know, that changes too. Obviously, no spoilers, but he gets recognized by fucking every single hero he sees in later seasons. So it kind of hits me with the... I understand, like, he probably works with multiple hero agencies, but, like...
I can tell you for a fact, because I've been reading the Vigilante spinoff, which is a prequel to My Hero. He's well-known in certain cities because... those are like his turf. You see them around. He's willing to look the other way for minor villainy. You know, if he can talk to you and he can stop you from doing what you were doing and you understand, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. But I think that
fits along with normal society, too, in a way. Because, I mean, look at cops pulling people over. Mm-hmm. Okay, you were speeding, but you were only going 10 over the speed limit. You know, honestly, you have no priors, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to let you off with a warning. And then you have some people. So that's an Aizawa cop. Okay, they made a mistake. They were going 10. But then you have, like, an All Might cop that's like, oh, you were going 8 over the speed limit. That's speeding. We're going to give you a ticket.
Allow me to break your car with my fist.
Oh, let us check your car. Let us, you know, it's...
You got drugs in here?
I think it certainly follows along with even our world and our society, like how we live and stuff like that.
You know, I mean,
because there's definitely satire to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
And I think it's a cool thing that it's like that because it's not painting the heroes as like this perfect, pretty picture, even though like... to us, the viewers, even though a lot of people in society view them as like these rose-colored, like with rose-colored glasses, like these are the heroes, and there's nothing they can do wrong and things like that, and then villains are just bad, and I don't know, I just
especially I think especially later in the series, they get into this a lot more,
absolutely,
which I can't wait till we get into it because
I honestly
the society right now, especially with all the laws for quirks and everything like
it's
that.
It's hard to talk about this kind of stuff because I can't wait till season 5 and I can't wait to see what they're going to put in season 5 because especially what's going on currently in the manga. I mean, there's so much that I want to talk about that you can't.
No. I mean, if we want to get technical with their laws, which are a little bit, you don't really know too much about the laws. They don't really tell you about that too much in the first season. But you do find out later on. And in just the first episode, the sludge monster, when you hear that lady scream the first time you see it, the lady's on the ground, and she's using her quirk, which, according to the laws in the universe for My Hero Academia...
you cannot use your quirk without...
She should be arrested immediately.
Yeah, she is a villain. But it was in self-defense.
You're not even supposed to... It doesn't matter if it's in self-defense. Look at... Oh, we can't talk about that, but...
Yeah. But that makes sense. I get that. I understand. It's hard because, like, but that is why people go to those schools to become heroes. They're training their quirks.
Well, they also get provisional licenses. Exactly. And they also get hero licenses and things like that so that they can properly use their quirks.
Exactly. They're training.
How can you distinguish what's right and wrong if people are using quirks in that way as opposed to, you know, I mean,
in my opinion,
it's got to be fair.
In my opinion, the Jedi are evil.
The Jedi are fucked up. but let's go back to a sludge monster real quick. When he got Bakugo, the heroes give up extremely quickly. When they realize they can't do anything.
However, at that point, they hit damage control.
Yeah, however, the fire hydrant head there, I know the building was on fire, right? The child was suffocating. The fire hydrant quirk user there, water quirk user, would definitely have been more effective.
Yes, against them, yes.
He should have stopped doing what he's doing. A burning building, fine. A child suffocating, not fine. The priorities.
Especially because the other heroes could have worked on getting people out of the building if they needed to. I mean, there was enough heroes there for a situation like that. The heroes have to prioritize. Mm-hmm. And you can see in the very beginning of it that the priorities of some of these heroes are clearly not where they need to be.
Like Mount Lady.
I don't like Mount Lady.
I think Mount Lady.
I'm just going to say this now. Mount Lady does. On maybe later on,
well,
where we can't talk about.
We can talk more in the future. I have my thoughts on that.
But
still.
My first season, from the first season, I don't like.
She
Mount
genuinely
Lady
just seems in it for the clout,
the fame.
Yep.
The fame.
She's just trying to get a name for herself.
It's like we said earlier. Kamui Woods would definitely have been more than enough to sell.
Oh, absolutely. I like Kamui Woods. I really like him.
He's a good hero. So I think this is about the moment we wrap things up. Overall, I just thoroughly enjoyed this season. It's been so long since I've seen it. It was interesting to see all these characters that I recently watched season 4 again, maybe 4 months ago. So just seeing all these characters at the beginning versus how they are at the end of that season is just so much fun.
I actually found it really fun to rewatch it again because I knew that we were preparing for this. So I paid attention to so many more finer details. I mean, I've always been the type of person that watches something a few times and they'll pick up on little things that maybe I missed throughout rewatching it and stuff. But I mean, there was even more little things that I've really focused on.
Yeah, like the fact that Aizawa gets beat so bad, his voice changes.
So true. It was a jolt to me going all the way back to the first season from, where I am.
Oh yeah, it's jarring because the character development for all these characters are so developed.
Seeing Deku go all the way back to where he was, seeing all the other characters start from zero. When I see where they're going and where they've been, I'm just like, oh, that kind of hurts a little bit. But it's nice to see where they started again. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I watched the first season. I appreciated doing that again. It was enjoyable. I was glad that you brought it up that we should do something like this.
I think this was a really good one to talk about for a first episode as well.
I think so too.
It's such a well done manga, but it's such a well-done anime, too.
They did adapt it very faithfully.
They did phenomenal, in my opinion. I mean, there's things that I don't like about the series.
Of course.
Characters that I don't like about it, which is true about
it. I have favorite animes that, some parts of it or some aspects of it I really dislike. But but overall,
there wasn't a whole lot that I had to complain about with this one. There was little bits and pieces that, I didn't like, but
there's definitely moments, but I think that overall it is just such a fun ride. Like, it's from the start of that. So from episode 1, we deal with Deku as the character he is. And then from the end, we see how far he's come in just that short amount of time.
Yeah.
And we see them all, even the characters that didn't get as much screen time in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But
just those 13 episodes, you see Deku evolve from basically, I'm going to whine and hide from everything to I'm still going to whine and cry, but I'm no longer going to hide. I'm going to stand up for myself no matter what's happening.
Man's up big time.
Yeah. That one other thing about Deku real quick is if it comes to himself, if it was just him, he wouldn't be the type of person he is. He wouldn't be a very good hero. But you see it come out of him when people are in danger, people around him, you see it when beginning, Nochaku is in danger when Bakugo's in danger. Also, by the way, the slap save.
Nochaku.
From Ochaku. At the end of the entry exam, fantastic, love it, makes me chuckle every time.
Yes,
but I he was going to just run, and then he saw if someone was in danger, and he's like, "No, I don't care. I don't know. My quirk might not even work yet, but boom, I'm gonna go save somebody."
Overall, it is an incredible anime, and I'm excited to talk about it in a few weeks again. Well, about a month probably. We're gonna spin our wheel. This is anime roulette, after all. So we have a wheel of genres.
Spin that wheel.
We're gonna use that. So like we're gonna have to isolate that. Don't worry, we'll edit that bit. But we are going to spin the wheel of anime. This is the wheel of genre, and whatever that lands on, we have a wheel designated to that. So let's spin it. And the winner is tried and true. It's action. So now that we have spun the wheel of genres, we landed on action. We go to the action wheel.
The action wheel.
And we are landing on
the winner is Irregular at Magic High School. Congratulations.
No, that's copyrighted. We're not getting DMCA today, boys. We're staying out of that zone. So next week, or 2 weeks from now, I should say, we will have watched the Irregular at Magic High School, and we will be talking about it. I'm excited. I've never watched it. I've
never even heard of it.
Pretty good, guys.
I've heard good things.
I can vouch for it. They just had a new season start last year. It might be finished by now. I'll double check and I'll let you guys know.
Well, depending on the length, we may watch both
in this bit. Yeah, two or three seasons.
Hey, oh shit, oh geez, it's going a little hard.
12 episodes.
All right, thanks everybody again for listening. And if you'd like to support us, we'll see how that goes at some point. I don't really know. We might start something eventually, but my name is Connor. You can find me at TurtleGodConnor on Twitter.
I'm Scott. Can't find me anywhere. I don't exist.
He does not exist. Not yet, anyway.
Sorry, guys.
He's ghost.
But thank you. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our madness.
You can find Ashley nowhere as well. I'm the only one on Twitter. I post dumb memes all day. So, if you liked it, give me a look.
Bye. Thank you for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.